Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Like I said, the last time I spoke, it was at Tin Valley, one of the last weeks we were there. And one of my last points of the message, I shared a part of mine and Anna's story. And I don't want to rush through it, but I'm just going to tell you the quick version. When we moved here, Anna started experiencing a lot of female pain. If you know what endometriosis is, it is a terrible thing that affects a lot of women. And so anyway, the pain got worse and worse, and so we went to the doctor, and they do like a scope surgery. And basically, they burn off the stuff that is causing the pain and burn it away from the things that it's affecting, all the organs down there. And so Anna had just graduated college a little bit later than most, and so we were looking to start a family. And the doctor said, okay, well, while I'm in there, we'll go ahead and flush your tubes, and that'll give you a clean start. And it'll be easier for you to get pregnant. So fast forward to the day of the surgery, and she has surgery. The doctor comes out after it's done and is kind of updating, you know, the husband, me, and was saying, hey, surgery went well, but the tubes, it did not go well. In fact, the dye or the ink, the fluid that we tried to flush the tubes with, none of it could get through either one. Both tubes completely 100% blocked. And it was devastating because Anna, through our relationship, it was very evident that she wanted to be a mom, and that's just a dream of hers. And so we got home from the doctor, got her in the bed, and I had a life-changing moment. It was a very hard moment because I was hurt. I was a little bit angry. I didn't understand why there would be this opposition, another obstacle that we would have to go through. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and He said that this isn't over. That this isn't over. And for those of you that know us, it wasn't over, because Vivian is back there in the nursery right now. And This is kind of sappy, but when I look into her eyes every single day, I see the faithfulness of God. It is a constant reminder. And we named Vivian. Her name is Vivian Marie after her grandmother. But she has a second middle name, and her second middle name is Promised. And thank you. It's Promised. And we wanted that to be in her name so she would always know. And people that met her would always know that she was promised by God. And I want you to know today that if God has promised you something, it is impossible for Him not to fulfill it. It is impossible for Him not to fulfill it. And sometimes we think that God's faithfulness runs out. But God's faithfulness never runs out. Because in December, we're expecting baby number two. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Yeah, you don't know nothing about that. You don't know nothing about that. So we're very excited, and we're just blown away by how good God has been to us. And that Vivian wasn't a fluke. That God has healed Anna's body. And He still does miracles today, church. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. He still does it today. All right. I want you to be challenged this morning. Pastor Gabriel, in the newborn series, he has been throwing some bombshells at you, whether you know it or not. He's been very much challenging us as a church about what does transformation really look like. And he went through this whole thing of cowering. You know, we kind of started off wrong in the church. You know, we get to altar time, and then we say, everybody, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, everybody turn off the lights, everybody put their blindfold on. If you want to be saved today, why don't you raise your hand up, you know, and put it right back down, and all these things. And so we start people off with this thing of no accountability, no step of faith, no anything. It's just a moment. And so they receive Christ, we hope, and then they go on about their life. And since they haven't made any declarations in their life, then a lot of times there's no transformation, right? Being a Christian is a commitment. It is a commitment. It is a hard road sometimes. It is the most fulfilling road sometimes, but it is a hard road. And so I want to talk to you today to kind of piggyback off of what Pastor Gabriel's series was about. I want to talk about standards today. What is a standard? The definition I found was something established by authority, custom, or general consent as a model or example. And I've noticed that standards aren't just a light switch. And if you have really good standards, sometimes our standards can lower, and they lower at a very slow pace. It's almost like we don't even realize that they're lowering. And so I want to read this scripture, and before I read it, I'll preface it. So the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. Everybody know this story? And so God used Moses to take the Israelites out of Egypt to lead them to the promised land. Right before they got there, Moses died, and Joshua was next in line. And so Joshua is taking and leading the Israelites into the promised land, and they had all these victories. He led them there, and they took the territory. But this is an interesting thing, is they wiped out pretty much everybody, but God purposely left some nations in the land of Canaan as a test for Israel. He left them as a test for Israel. And so as Joshua, as his time ended as leader, before he died, he had a word from God that he was supposed to give to the people. And we'll pick up in Joshua 23, verse 9. And it says, "For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you," the people that he left to test, "and if you intermarry with them, then you will know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip for your backs, thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord has given you." Standards lower over time. All the good stuff that we read at the beginning of that verse was very good, and the second half actually happened. They did lower their standards over time. They did pull in the customs of those remaining nations. They did bring in the pagan gods. They did intermarry. They did do all the things that God told Joshua to warn them about. So much so that years later, they were defeated after God gave them multiple chances to repent. They were defeated and taken in captivity to a whole different land. So we fast forward years even after that, and God opens the door for two men, Ezra and Nehemiah, to kind of reestablish Jerusalem. And so they went, and they're rebuilding the temple, and they're rebuilding the wall, and they're making this progress. And they finally get done with the temple and the wall, and so they're doing this. It was kind of supposed to be a celebration. And so they're like consecrating the building, and it would be something like what we would do. You know, we got here, and we find a scripture verse, and we read it over the congregation, you know, kind of like this new beginning. And so Ezra said to the priest, go get the law, basically go get the Bible, and let's read it so we can, basically what Joshua was saying with what we just read earlier, let's read the law, let's start this thing off right. And it says in Ezra that once they started reading the law, like it was like the people were in shock. And it wasn't just random people. It was the spiritual leaders that were in shock. Because it says that they, even then, were still intermarried, still had all the customs of the pagan gods, doing all this and that, and they didn't even know. At least the other people knew it was wrong. These people were so far away from the standard that God had set that they didn't even realize. And so they said that there was like massive weeping. And it was supposed to be a celebration. Y'all see what I'm saying? Like they had gotten so far away that God's law wasn't even recognizable for them. And that's what happens. Is our standards, they slowly and slowly and slowly get worse and worse and worse. And before we even know it, we're in this mess. And we don't know how to get out of it. We get accustomed to our surroundings. And if we lower our standards, then we have nothing to protect us from the ramifications of what comes with sin. Jesus paid a price for our sin. And make no mistake, big, small, indifferent, whatever you want to say, Jesus paid a price for our sin, and we will pay a price for lowering our standards. Every single time. I wish this was more fun. I really do. I was telling Anna, I wish that I could be funny and do all these things, but I really felt like God wanted me to bring this word today. So I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. When I was in late high school, this part might be a little bit funny. When I was in late high school, early college, there was this time where I had guy friends and girlfriends, and in this kind of circle of really close-knit guy and girlfriends. And this time, late high school, early college, they all started dating. And what made it even worse is they all started dating each other. And so, like, have you heard of the third wheel? Have y'all heard of that? I was like the ninth wheel, okay? I was miserable. I was completely miserable. And we would all go hang out, but then the couples would pair off and like go to the corners of the room, and it'd be like a whole bunch of giggling and whispering to each other. And I'm like, where's my life right now? You know? Like, please get me out of this terribleness that I'm in right now. So it was really bad. And so I started feeling sorry for myself. And I was like, you know what? They look like they're having a lot of fun. I should date too. You know, like, I should get a girlfriend. You know, if they can do it, I can do it. So let's get this ball rolling here. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do this thing. And so I would start to pursue and kind of seek out to see, you know, if different people were an option. You know, and I'd get to talking to them or spend a little time with them. And I'm not joking. When I would do that, I would literally get physically nauseous. I really would. I would get physically sick to my stomach. And you know, I talked to somebody on the phone, or they'd call me. Same thing, just like, ugh. Like, ugh. You know, like it's like something's not right. And what I found out was that was the Holy Spirit checking me and saying to me, "Hey, Jonathan, this isn't for you right now. This isn't what I have for you right now." And this is the thing. When I was seeking something out, no one could have ever said, "Jonathan, you shouldn't date that girl." Because I wasn't pursuing anybody that was bad. I was pursuing somebody that was in church or that loved God or, you know, was, you know, doing all the right things. No one on the outside could have ever said, "Jonathan, you know what you're doing is wrong." But I knew what the Holy Spirit said in my spirit. And He was saying, "Hey, this isn't for you." Does that make sense? So even though no one could technically say, Jonathan, what you're doing is wrong or bad timing or whatever, but I knew that it wasn't the right time. And so, and that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to step on any toes this morning, but if I'm going to go for it, I'm going to go for it. So we put the Holy Spirit in such a small box, one way or the other. Background, no background. We put them in such a tiny box. Where I came from, all my church ever did was talk about speaking in tongues. Where you came from, maybe they said, don't ever talk about speaking in tongues. But it's like this is that thing that's associated with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, Jesus died, rose again, and he said, I'm going to leave so I can bring you something better. And if he said that, you best believe that as Christians, we need to get on that bus. We need to get on that bus. And if you're still trying to figure it out, listen, if you ask him, he will reveal himself to you. He will reveal himself to you. You just got to ask. Throw your backgrounds in the trash, good, bad, or indifferent. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit wants a personal relationship with me. He wants a personal relationship with you. And all the gifts of the Spirit, he's not going to force himself on you. It's a process. And it is a gentle process. Now, some of the things he might ask you to do is hard, right? But I just want to put that out there. So the Holy Spirit gave me that hold up sign. You know what I'm saying? He said, this isn't for you right now, Jonathan. But I've noticed in a different story that when you lower your standards, it can happen very, very slow. I used to watch this show, and it was about a U.S. Marshal. And I liked it. It was a very manly show. It was kind of like a throwback, but, you know, not like a Western. But it was a lot of fun to watch. And I noticed that as I was watching, I was real excited for the next season to come. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the show changed time slots. And when a show, and I don't know the exact time of day, but if a show's on past 9:30 or 10, they can take more liberties in the content because they consider it your child is in bed or what have you. So that's just rules that they have. So I'm watching the show, and it's this new season I was really excited for. And I'm watching it, and I could tell it was just different. You know, I could tell that they were pushing the envelope with promiscuous, like, sexual things. Their language, different things. You could just tell it was more adult. And I felt, not the nauseous feeling, but I felt that check in my spirit that was like, hey, Jonathan, this probably isn't for you. But this is the sad thing, is I ignored it, right? Maybe you've done something similar in a different situation. And so I compromised and I ignored it. And the further I went along in this season of this show, it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. So now, where I'm at now, at the very terrible stuff, if that would have been at the beginning of the season, I would have never went through with it. But it was the compromise that I made at the beginning that I ended up consuming something that I never should have consumed. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It was the small compromise that I just justified. I just made the justification of, I can do this. This isn't that big of a deal. But you compromise every single step of the way, and it ends up taking you down a path that you never planned on going. It starts small, but a lot of times we don't understand that small compromises lead to big compromises and big consequences. And just a side note, everything starts small, good or bad. It's what you feed. Solomon in the Bible, a lot of people know this story. God came to Solomon in a dream, and he basically, I know Aladdin just came out. I know we don't compare God to a genie, but it's almost like one of those scenarios. He came to Solomon and said, whatever you want, fame, wealth, anything, every kingdom to rule the world, you just say the word, and it's yours. And Solomon did something incredible. He asked for wisdom instead of all this stuff. That's the story that we know, right? And so Solomon was greatly, greatly blessed. And as his life went on, he started making, most theologians believe that he started making these deals with other countries to kind of like business deals or treaties. And to do that in those days, a lot of times the other king would give that king a daughter of his to kind of seal the agreement. And so it was just like, you know, this will be a reminder to you that you won't attack us, or this will be a reminder to you that you'll only buy and sell with us on these specific things. Does that make sense? And so what happened is, over time, Solomon started bringing in all these women to his house, and all these different customs to his house, and all these different pagan gods to his house. And this is the wisest and most discerning man that has ever walked the face of the earth, except for Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? This is the wisest and most discerning man that has ever walked the face of the earth, and he continued to lower his standards. And let me tell you something, and I'm talking to myself as well. It says in the Bible an interesting thing. It says to flee temptation. It doesn't say to fight temptation. It says to flee. So the wisest and most discerning man in the world brings all this pagan stuff into his house, and he probably thought that he could handle it. I am, after all, the wisest and most discerning man in the world. I can deal with this. All these deals that I made with other countries are good for us. It's good for the economy. It's good for business. But it turns out that Solomon kept on lowering his standards. Kept on lowering his standards. And the sad news is, and this is the part that most people don't continue to read about Solomon, but those compromises that he made continued to have an effect on his life. And by the end of Solomon's life, some people think that he had completely gone crazy. It's in the Bible. You can research it. But it was a sad thing. Most wise, most discerning, serving other gods. Serving other gods than the one true God that had showed him everything, that had blessed him with everything, but he lowered his standards. Sin isn't your friend. It's not your pet. Sin is designed to do one thing, and it's to destroy you. Solomon brought in all these idols and pagan gods with these women, and he thought he could handle it. But if you bring something into your house and you surround yourself with temptation, I don't care who you are, you'll fall. Period. You must flee from temptation, and that will give you the victory. Today it seems that Christians are more concerned with not having to give anything up, not willing to do anything hard, not willing to make sacrifices, not willing to ruffle anybody's feathers, not willing to do anything that's hard or compromising or anything that resembles a high standard overall. That's what it feels like today. You know, my friends are doing this. My friends are watching that. My friends are doing casual this. All of that. And so as Christians, we get so close to the line or just way over it because we don't want to make any sacrifices. We don't want to do anything hard. And then we wonder why we can't hear God anymore. Then we wonder why we can't feel His presence. It's not because the worship team's not killer. That's not the reason. Might be another reason. It's not that reason. We wonder these things. But if we take a look at our lives, it's pretty apparent. If there's a sacrifice to be made when we're a Christian, there's a standard to be held when we're a Christian. And that responsibility only falls on me. And it only and the responsibility only falls on you. We want to blame God for some things that have happened, but really it's our decision and the process of ignoring the Holy Spirit that gets us to a place where we are left alone with our sin. We can't be quick to compromise. Society is telling us that in order to accept the person, we have to accept the sin. That's what society is telling you every single day. That you're not accepting the person unless you accept their sin with them. And that's just not true. In fact, society is saying the opposite of the Bible. Society is saying, say the way of the Lord is wide and everybody's included. Doesn't matter what you do, what your lifestyle is, where you're from, anything. Everybody's in. But in Matthew 7:13, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. That's exactly the opposite of what society is telling us in times today. It's the opposite. Because the standards have gotten so low, just like what we read in Joshua. He set this standard of this is what you're supposed to do. And then years later, the highest ranking Christians didn't even know what he was talking about. And I feel like our society has done the same thing. We're not willing to do and to recognize that there was a price that was paid. There was a price that was paid, and there's a call for Christians to not be perfect, but to live a holy life. And to live a sinful lifestyle is not living a holy life. And I'm sorry, it's hard, because we got family members, we have maybe spouses, we have kids that we know aren't doing the right thing, and we tell ourselves things to make us feel better. But honestly, that might be what got us in trouble in the first place. Is because there was never a standard that was withheld. Breaking news. We were never called to fit in. Ever. We were never called to fit in. We are called to stand out. We are called to be a light. We'll never stand out if we continue to compromise and lower our standards. I read this quote. It blew my mind. Listen to this. God is not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation. Stop trying to change Scripture when it is written to change you. Let's do it again. God is not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation. Stop trying to change the Scripture when it is written to change you. Leviticus 27 says, chapter 20, verse 7, so set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Go down to verse 26. You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from all the other people to be my very own. And team, you can come up. This is my next point. Do we fear God or do we fear man? Really? Really? Do we really fear God or do we fear man? Ask yourself that question. Proverbs 15:33 says, fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. There's something that we need to establish this morning, and that is that Jesus had to die for our sin, not because we are human beings. He had to die because of our sin. He had to die because of our shortcomings. He had to die because of the things that we've messed up on. Not because we were born or because we're human. Does that make sense? A price had to be paid. The highest price had to be paid because of our sin. We can't be flippant about the freedom that He paid for. I'm speaking to myself here. Because there's things that I work through just like everybody else. But getting close to the line isn't worth it. when you're reminded of the price that He paid for us. It's just not worth it. We can justify anything. You can make up things in your head that can justify anything. But getting close to that line, ignoring those checks in your spirit, when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's why He sent Him. And when we ignore those checks and we continue to get closer to the line or way past the line, we need to remember that the price that Jesus paid was so great, and it's not worth it for us to play this game that we play. It's not worth it for Jonathan to play this game that I can play. It's just not. It's not worth it. It'll cost you too much. God cannot accept sin, but He is constantly searching you out. And He has given all that He can give to prove His love for you. He's constantly searching you out. And He has given all that He can give to prove His love for you. If you can stand up with me this morning. I really did. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be funny. I wanted to do these things, but I really felt like this was a word today that we needed to hear. There is nothing more inclusive than the love of God. Period. He doesn't accept the sin. He loves us. But there's nothing more inclusive than the love of God. Period. It is the strongest force you will ever encounter in your life if you let Him. My favorite verse in the Bible is Romans 8:38. And it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you felt challenged today, I would say that that's the Holy Spirit giving you a call to action. That's the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart that maybe you've let some standards slip. And I'm not talking down to you. I've let many standards slip. But the thing is that there has to be a call of action. There has to be this transformation in our heart to go on this journey to where we say we're not going to compromise anymore. Yes, we'll probably still mess up. We will mess up. But we're not going to continue to compromise a lifestyle that was never meant for some of the things that we've let into our hearts. And my last thing, and I really felt like I was supposed to share it, but a lot of times we don't take this step of transformation because it's uncomfortable. If you grew up in church like I did, it's kind of this unwritten rule that you're supposed to act perfect and that you're not supposed to have any problems and that people ask you how you're doing and you're like, "I'm fine, you know, I'm good, blessed, you know," but your life could be falling apart and you might need some help. And the reason why we don't take these next steps because it's uncomfortable, and that's called pride. And we all have it. But let me tell you something. Pride never died for your sins. And this is what I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Pride, the only thing that it will do for you is it will leave you stuck where you are now, and you'll never leave unless you tell it no more. It will never leave, and you will remain stuck where you are unless you say, "You know what? Maybe this pride thing just isn't worth it. Maybe I need some victory in my life, and maybe that's worth it. Maybe we shouldn't get all caught up as Christians and wondering why people come down to get prayer. And maybe we should just celebrate when we get the victory." Because I'm going to tell you something. I've reached the point in my life, and I'm still trying to deal with this, but I don't care anymore. I just don't. Because there's some things that I've walked through, And like I was saying earlier about the line, it's just not worth it. The things that I've had to carry that I was never meant to carry, I've learned that it's just not worth it. And so this morning, we're going to sing again. But I feel like if the Holy Spirit has been tugging on you during what has been a very uncomfortable message for me, but if He's been tugging on your heart, that it's a call to action. And I believe that if we get prayer this morning and you take a step of faith, and it's uncomfortable, I know, but if you take a step of faith, that will start your journey of getting your standards back to where you need to be. So Holy Spirit, I thank You for what You're speaking to us. And just in this moment, I ask that You would soften our hearts. I ask that You would soften our hearts and show us the things that maybe we need to adjust. That You would show us the things that maybe we need to set standards back into place that we've let slip. So this morning, if that's you, why don't you come? Why don't you come and get prayer this morning? And I believe that God will send you on the path to some victory.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.